We're reading from John 6, verse 47, right through to the end. It sort of summarises, it's a very difficult story. Verse 47, then we start there. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen.
There's so much in that reading, isn't there? Words of Jesus, words that are spirit and life to us, words written down for us by John so that we could believe, and by believing, have life in Jesus' name. They're words that take us deep, deep into the mystery of who God is, who Jesus is, who we are, and how we can share in the life of God. And it is deeply challenging stuff. More than many there could take, many disciples turn back from this point, it says. There's an awful lot in that reading, but I need to focus on this last bit here that's on the screen, verses 66 to 69, and especially on Jesus' question in verse 67 to the disciples here. You do not want to leave too, do you? Or do you also wish to go away? The translation has. Do you also wish to go away? There's compassion here in Jesus' question. And there's tenderness. There's also a lot of vulnerability, I think. Jesus, he's the bread of life. He's the giver of life. But he will not ever force or bully anyone towards believing and receiving that life. And those disciples, they're free to leave. To leave him. They're free to go away. No doubt it broke his heart to see them go. It's very similar in many ways to the passage that Matt Gower was looking at last week, isn't it? That story of the rich young ruler. Because he too was he was deeply challenged by what Jesus had to say to him. And he also turned back. He went away sad. And Jesus watched as he went, full of compassion. So this is sad. I would also say, though, this isn't necessarily the end of the story for any of these people, neither for those disciples, nor for that rich young ruler. We know that on that day, they were not ready for it. On that day, they were not ready to follow and to receive what Jesus had for them. They weren't ready to believe at that point. Perhaps they did later on, or some of them at least. As we look back on our own stories of when we met with Jesus and received Jesus into our lives, maybe if we look back further still, we can remember other points further back when we met with him, but we weren't ready. We weren't ready to receive him. Points where we weren't ready. Our God is a God of second chances. That said, these disciples are clearly, they're turning their back on something wonderful. And it is a deeply tragic and sad thing to see. As we look back over chapter 6, what is it exactly that makes those disciples think twice and want to turn back? It seems to come after Jesus has been talking about being the bread of life and then about giving them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. I mean, that is a pretty gross thing to imagine, isn't it? It's a pretty shocking picture Jesus uses there. And if we find it a bit disgusting, thinking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, then those followers of Jesus who were Israelites, who were Jewish, they would have found it even more shocking. The law forbade them to drink any blood at all, let alone human blood. But was that shocking image, that gross metaphor, was that itself the reason why they were turning back? I didn't think so, really. I think it goes deeper than that. I think somehow what Jesus was talking about in using that picture, and what he was pointing to in that teaching, that was the deeper challenge in what he was saying. He was calling them to eat his flesh. And that calling them to eat his flesh, that was a call to share in his life and join with him, identify themselves with him and his totally radical way of life. To join, more than that, eating his flesh and drinking his blood means identifying with him in his death. It means following the way of the cross. The way of life that was about self-giving and dying for others. Taking up the cross to follow him, even to death. And I think that's at the heart of what they couldn't accept and of what made them want to leave. That, or ultimately, I think it's that. You look at it differently. There's fear as well, isn't there? It's fear that made them want to turn back. Maybe they turned back just because they were afraid, or because they were unwilling, unready to let Jesus take control. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them, Jesus says. And they weren't ready to let Jesus be quite that central, quite that important in their lives. They wanted to remain in control. Remember back to that first question that Jesus asked the people who came to follow him. What is it you're looking for? Well, whatever it had been that they were looking for when they first began following Jesus, maybe it's at this point that they start to really realize that they're actually looking for something else, not for this. Maybe it's at this point they started to realize they were looking for something safer, something less dangerous, less radical. They were looking for more of a normal kind of king, more of a normal kind of rabbi. Not one who just kept on turning the whole way they saw the world upside down like this. He kept on challenging them quite so deeply as this. You do not want to leave too, do you? And how do we respond to that question? Have we fully given our lives to Jesus Christ? Do we still feel the deep challenge of Jesus' teaching? Or have we settled for something easier or more familiar? Matt, in what he was saying last week, he was saying that giving a bare minimum instead of giving everything, wasn't he? Have we settled for something more like that? Are there parts of our life that we still want to hold back from Jesus? Have we felt at times like giving up on being a Christian? Can we accept that our life really is to be found in Jesus and not in anything else? Are there things in our lives that we consider more important than Jesus? Things that might be getting in the way, stopping us from believing and having life with Jesus? It's Peter, Simon Peter, who speaks up here and gives this amazing response. To whom would we go, he says.
To whom would we go?
And you can read that as both a positive and a negative question, I guess.
The negative side of it is,
well, I don't have anything else to do but follow you now. I'm out of other options. I can't imagine anything different now. What would you do? If you stopped being a Christian today, what would you do tomorrow? I was thinking of starting off with that question, but I didn't do that in the end. But yeah, what would you do if you stopped being a Christian today? How much difference would it make? If it wouldn't make that much difference, then you've got a problem right there, haven't you? What would you do if you stopped believing in Jesus? I mean, obviously, if I think about this, for my family, it would be an absolute pain in the neck, just practically, apart from anything else. You know, because Deb is paid to be a Baptist minister, isn't she? So we kind of have to believe in God on one level. You know, it's really hard to imagine another life, what we would do, where we would go, who we would follow and be with. That's the negative side of the question, but kind of flipping that on its head, you can see it as a positive. The fact that I find it so hard to imagine a life where I no longer believed is a sign that I have given my life to Jesus and decided to go this way and to follow a path that makes no sense for someone who doesn't really believe. I hope it's that, and that it's not just become some kind of, as like Matt was talking about last week again, a kind of religiosity. And the positive side that Simon Peter gives here is this. You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe. Peter's agreeing with what Jesus has been saying here when he said, the words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Peter's agreeing with that. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus is special, totally special, and from God. And his words, they give life. There's no one like Jesus. No one else in history is like him, as we were singing earlier. Holy, there is no one like you, as we were singing earlier. Jesus himself is the reason for us to keep going, the reason that we don't leave. Reason that we don't want to go away. Or at least I hope so. I hope it is about Jesus and not just about church or religion. Because it's a real tragedy when you see people walk away from the faith, isn't it? Have there been people you've known who used to believe and no longer do? It's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing to try and make sense of. I always think of a friend that we had who's about my age at our previous church in Bangor. He came to faith, he got baptised, he was in our home group for several years, but then something happened and he turned back from it and he started calling himself an atheist. And it's heartbreaking. How do you make sense of it? What happened? Did he not really come to faith properly in the first place? And the question that really bothers me is, was it really Jesus that he turned his back on? Or was it just something about the church? Was it just something we got wrong as church? Failing to model Jesus and be enough like him. That's the kind of question that really haunts you. Over the past few generations here in this country, huge numbers of people have turned their backs on church and chapel, haven't they? If you think about it, 125 years ago, we lived in the most Christian part of possibly the world, but certainly Britain. And since then, we've very quickly become the least Christian part of Europe, you know, certainly of Britain. And it's quite shocking here in Wales where we live. And you can understand it, because there is plenty wrong with the church, and there's plenty that has become unhealthy in chapel culture. And it's never completely healthy anyway, is it? So is it really Jesus that people have turned their backs on, or is it just church? Is it the radical challenge of Jesus' message that people have rejected? Or is it just religion or religiosity? As Matt was talking about last week, that they're probably right to reject on one level, do you know? These are the kind of questions that really, really bother me. And on the one hand, you could say, well, the church, it's all Jesus has. You know, they say, the saying goes, Noah's Ark was probably a pretty unpleasant and smelly place to be in, but if you jumped out of there, you'd drown, wouldn't you? Maybe. On the other hand, the church is not our saviour. God is our saviour. Jesus is our saviour. And again, the reason that we keep going and don't give up on the faith, and the reason also why we don't give up on each other, is Jesus himself, who is the Holy One of God. It's a very difficult one. And on the other hand, if I had three hands, you know, in the Bible, the church is called Jesus' body here on earth. The church is never completely healthy, is it? Just as these human bodies we have are never completely healthy, this side of mortality and resurrection. But we don't completely give up on our bodies, do we? You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asks the 12. Jesus and his call, they're still upon our lives. And it's Simon Peter who gives this amazing response of faith. Simon Peter, who at other times messes up and denies Jesus, and at other times shows real faith, stepping out of the boat, eyes fixed on Jesus, walking on the water. And he shows real leadership here too, doesn't he? He's the one who later spoke to those crowds at Pentecost, and here he is speaking up on behalf of the 12 of them, out of all the fog of whatever doubts and confusion they were each feeling about this. And he spoke through all that and said, "Who would we go to, Jesus? You have the words of eternal life, and we've believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." That's the journey they've come on. They've come to believe. How can they go back now? And in a similar way, as we think back on how we came to believe, if we think back on all we've been through since then, since we gave our lives to Jesus, I hope we can all see the things that Jesus has brought us through, all the trials that we've faced and gotten through because of him, and that our faith has grown in Jesus and who he is, how special he is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you've called us, and we are here because of you. And we believe you have the words of eternal life for us. And we here in this church, we believe, and we come to know that you are the Holy One of God, Lord Jesus. And so Lord, we thank you, and we ask you to lead us on, help us keep our eyes fixed on you, not turning back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.